Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for February the 13th, hour 2 of 2 in the year of our Lord, 2021. We're talking about the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org. Get involved today, become a lifetime member. I am, and highly recommend you become one as well. And we're talking about the history of some of the incredible training events we've done across the country. And we got another one coming up in Texas, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, just outside of Houston, in the Woodlands. And registration is required. It is a public event on Friday. It's a two-day event. And it's got includes lunch and dinner, $99 to attend per person, or $150 if you're not a member of the CSPOA. So I don't even want to talk about the non-member fee. I just want y'all to become a member, and then it's only $99. And we're going to have some entertainment in the evening from Palomino Moon. And they serve up some fine country, western, swing, and Hawaiian tunes, baby. CSPOA.org for more information. We're going to have speakers. It's going to be an educational opportunity like you haven't experienced before. The feeling in the room is something to behold. And, you know, we talked last hour about me being a volunteer. And like I say, the reason I'm such a volunteer is because, number one, I've felt the feeling in the room. And that basically goes deeper than any logical explanation that I can give you. But it highlights, in my opinion, what we're doing. The feeling in the room really tells the whole story. You begin to understand that this is beyond Sam, beyond Sheriff Mack, beyond individuals. This relates to the freest country on the face of the earth and how to keep it so. That's what we're talking about. That's who we are. That's what we do. And so I volunteer and give my time and my love. Now, I've been paid richly. The sheriff's right, not in dollars. But I've been paid richly in what legacy I'm leaving for my children, for the American people, and what I'm doing to affect change for good in a peaceful way. Let me say that again. I'm paid richly for the blessings that we receive when we train and educate and work together for peaceful solutions. And the title of the event, I think, really kind of tells the story. The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope. That is the name of our events. It's also the name of the Good Sheriff's book. Now, if you want to get a copy, then go to the event. You can get a copy there. You can also get a copy at CSPOA.org. I digress, except to tell you that it's the efforts that we're making here. When we say the sheriff, the county sheriff, okay, we're making statements. Who is he? What is he? We're talking about an elected person. We're talking about in the county, one of the most local jurisdictions, governmentally speaking, we have, America's last hope. We're talking about we elect that person, and they serve us. And as the public servant, how do we develop an appropriate relationship with them? How do we help them keep their oaths of office? How do we support them in their responsibilities? How do we train and educate us, we the people, to understand what our role is? Look, you don't just say, hey, I elected you, now go do your duty, and now you're on your own. We the people, as I mentioned in my first Las Vegas speech, you know what? Sheriffs will be backed by Americans. Okay, our goal is to let sheriffs understand that we've got their backs when they keep their oaths of office, when they do what they have promised to do at election. This is really important stuff. So, Sheriff, as we develop these events, you mentioned this current event in the Woodlands, right outside of Houston, Texas, on February 26th and 27th. CSPOA.org to learn more about it, to get a flyer, to sign up, and everything else. You mentioned that the topic is to really raise the bar. And it's because sheriffs are beginning to understand when they see what's going on in the country, the riots and everything else, they need the support of the people. Sheriff?
Well, that's true, Sam. And we've all got to make that connection and make that link between the sheriffs, the people, and the Constitution. And maybe that needs to be the overall theme. The sheriffs, the people, the Constitution. I like that. And that involves the churches and the Black Robe Regiment, and who I just invited to attend also.
And by the way, that's part of my topics we'll get into in just a second, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah. And that's a natural one to go to. But, yeah, if the people think that we're going to get America back and we're going to take freedom back and we're going to get rid of all the abuse going on in our country today, and they're just going to be able to call the sheriff and say, hey, go take care of this. Okay, see you later. No, what did Jefferson say about that? The price of freedom is eternal vigilance. And the American people have not been vigilant. We have far too long trusted government officials. And they have taken that trust, and they've taken the leeway that they have and the flexibility that they've been given within their own jobs and assignments, and they have taken it to such a corrupt level that their original job is almost unrecognizable anymore. And so it's really sad that that has happened, but we have not remained vigilant. So that's,
all right,
that's
so,
a big part of this.
Yeah, behind the scenes, the sheriff, you know, we have these brainstorming sessions, and it's like, okay, we know what we want to do. We want to raise the bar. Sheriffs are starting to understand as they get more and more controversial topics to deal with in their areas with rioting and COVID and masks and shots and all these different. It gets complicated for the good sheriff, and I don't envy their position many times. It's tough. I understand all that. We pray for them. We support them. But I want to mention, though, that when we're behind the scenes discussing these, Richard Mack does not run this thing like a, you know, he's in charge thing. He runs it like, hey, let's all, as brothers and sisters, brainstorm and come up with the best training, the best topics, and the best speakers we can come up with to drive home the points that we agree are necessary. So he says to us, he says, hey, you know what, why don't we come up with a bunch of topics and regroup, and let's just, you know, hammer out our topics. And then I kind of jumped in and said, all right, yeah, good idea. Let's bring our topics. Let's write down 10 of them, and then let's come back and see how many of us have the same topics. I don't care if they're worded differently or whatever, but or how many of us have similar topics, and those can percolate to the top. And so it's a very, I don't know what you want to call it, flat organization where, you know what, we all participate in meaningful ways. And he's got sheriffs involved. He's got former sheriffs involved. He's got public officials involved. He's got several we the people, just average Joes like me involved. And we all come up with the things. And so I wrote this. And I'm about to send this email out, by the way, Sheriff. I've got it done. I did 12 topics instead of 10. That's because that's just what I do. There's just so many good things to talk about.
Right.
And, of course, I can go on forever, sad to say sometimes. Anyway, I say, hi, guys. Sam Bushman, 10 possible topics for the CSPOA, you know, training event, February 26th and 27th. In the Woodlands, CSPOA.org to sign up for that. It's a free event. I say the following 10 ideas are in no particular order, but here they are. And I'm going to give them to you, Sheriff, and I want you to comment on them and your thoughts. And I know you're working on your 10, and so maybe they dovetail with some of the first one is this. First Amendment, freedom of speech, and freedom to assemble. And then I put a little kind of a, sometimes a little afterthought to kind of get the meaning that I've got. Okay. First Amendment, freedom of speech and freedom to assemble. And then I say attend church/strip clubs. And it's a little bit of a joke, but the point is, hey, sheriffs, why are people attending strip clubs and they can't go to church? What the heck's going on around here? Right.
Yeah.
That's one of them. And I think it's a critical topic because what are sheriffs going to do when people want it? When pastors, when the Black Robe Regiment wants to go to church, are they going to shut them down but yet let the strip clubs roll? Or is the sheriff going to go, wait a minute now? All right. Any comment on that topic?
No. I think, well, maybe yes. I think some people religiously go to strip clubs, so you can maybe put both of them in. No, sorry.
Yeah.
No,
and by the way, one church said he was a timber, he was a family-friendly strip club.
Yeah.
So that he could run his church. And he got up there and he took off his coat and he loosened his tie and he said, hey, man, now let's get to work. Talk about God. And, you know, so I joke about this, but it is an interesting discussion for the sheriff.
You have to joke sometimes, Dad, because that is so stupid
it's insanity.
And ridiculous that has existed in this country and it's It's with these corrupt officials, it's just standard operating procedure. So,
Dally last night was mentioning that in her speech. She's just like, you know, sometimes these bureaucrats and the laws they put together, you've just got to mock them.
Yeah.
To the point, you just got to get humor in here and mock them to the point where it's like, are you kidding me right now? And that can change the tide alone, Sheriff. Peacefully, I might add.
Right.
Anyway, that's topic one. Again, these are in no particular order.
Okay.
Two is the Second Amendment's under assault and how our sheriff's going to deal with that. That's always been a strong theme for us, the Second Amendment, Sheriff.
Yes, yes.
And that doesn't really require a whole lot of comment on that one, but I think it's something that needs to be focused on and addressed, especially with the Biden administration. And they're kind of suggesting they're going to take the gloves off and really violate our amendments. We need sheriffs to stand up with the Second Amendment. The next one is states' rights versus federal mandates. And this one really is going to be critical. I think it's going to be the first time ever at our event this time. We're going to start out our event with the sheriff, Sheriff Richard Mack. And he's going to go through his complete presentation, his whole history, how he got there, his Supreme Court case, the whole bit. And usually he just delivers part of his presentation, but we found over the years how valuable it is for people to get the whole story. And the whole story matters. And so we're going to kick it off with a complete presentation from good Sheriff Richard Mack, and then a Q&A afterwards so we can explore the topic completely. But it's directly related to states' rights, the county sheriff's authority versus federal mandates. That'll be a big topic. So I got that one. We'll come back with more. Hang tight.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
I'm this very second writing some talk show hosts and seeing if they can attend the event. So, working while we talk here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the topics at the CSPOA event coming up. Yeah, February 27th, 26th and 27th, CSPOA.org to learn more. And so the sheriff says, come up with topics, guys. So I did. Three states' rights versus federal mandates, pretty general topics, but yet some of the themes we've really carried forward. And oftentimes they just need a modern focus or twist with modern examples and reality checks so that people kind of get it in context of their lives and what they're doing. The next one is this. Forget the pandemic. Start thinking endemic. COVID may be with us permanently like the flu, writes the Wall Street Journal. What are sheriffs going to do with that, and how can sheriffs help businesses stay open? All right, that we traveled to Minnesota on that very topic, Sheriff.
Yep, no question about it. I'm glad you put that one down.
And so it doesn't relate exactly to the endemic, whether it's COCO or something else, coronavirus or something else. You know, what are sheriffs going to do in the future to make sure that people can actually make a living, have their business open, not be molested and shut down by government mandates?
Yeah, and what do we do with the next crisis of the day?
Exactly right.
And as a matter of fact, they're already bringing in more.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. So number five, honesty. So there's discussions about new treatments that are available for the coronavirus. It kills 99.8% of the coronavirus in just 48 hours, this treatment. Now, you say, Sam, why are we talking about sheriffs about a specific treatment? This treatment is an example, though. This doctor's getting blackballed and completely shut down. Now, listen to me. This doctor testified before Congress about the evidence of this coronavirus-fighting medication called ivermectin. Very inexpensive. Other nations are doing it successfully, but there's a blackout about it in America. But believe it or not, Congress heard the testimony of the good doctor. And now this is a big battle. But here's the question. Are we going to still allow doctors and false narratives to be the order of the day? Because if we don't have an honesty discussion about the treatments for the coronavirus, and if we literally shut down businesses over this, and are we going to have an honesty factor? And how does that relate to the sheriff's duty? So it's kind of that, you know, if we're going to say, yeah, you know what, this doctor testified before Congress with a 99.8% COVID killing in 48 hours treatment that's very inexpensive, but yet Congress hears about it. Other countries are successfully doing it, and we don't hear about it, but they're going to force me to not only wear a mask, but then to double my mask and triple my mask. And maybe not even travel anywhere or do anything without a vaccination mandate?
Well, that's a key point right there,
hey,
too.
Hey, wait a minute now. Sheriff, help me, please.
Yeah, let me interject something right there. Because first, the number one epidemiologist, I guess Fauci, came out and said, you didn't need to wear masks. Then he went, yes, you better have a mask. Then it was, the mask does not help you. There were billboards all over Arizona about that, Sam, that the mask doesn't protect you, but you're wearing it to protect your neighbor and everybody else. And that's why we do this together, because you wearing a mask protects somebody else. It doesn't protect you. Now, it protects you and your neighbor, and you should wear two of them, because that's even more effective in protecting you and your neighbors.
And now they're saying three's the charm.
Oh, my goodness.
I kid you not. I know it sounds laughable. It's just like, are you kidding me right now? It's kind of like strip club churches, but I'm just saying. Right now, the next one that I have is very related, and I mentioned it because I'm trying to break out a little bit of difference in focus. But it says federal government, state, and sheriffs forcing vaccines, masks, executive orders, not legislative law. So, you know what? The sheriff could say, well, the governor said so. But he's in the wrong branch for legislation, Sheriff. Is this very hard to understand? I think not. But it relates to not only masks, vaccines, executive orders for whatever it be, lockdowns, stay-at-home orders. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. And Sheriff, is that your duty to really just carry out the mandate of the governor? Are you really just going to say King George said so or King Governor said so?
Right. Very good point. I love that. Yes.
Or are you going to say, hold on a minute now, in my county, we're not doing that. I get that it's a problem. I get that we can recommend masks and we can highly encourage masks. Okay, all that's fine. So, for example, if I see a place that says mandate a mask, I usually walk in without wearing a mask. When it says masks, we please request you wear a mask or it's highly encouraged or whatever else, I usually put one on, Sheriff. Because it's their private property, and if they're going to ask me politely, then I can choose to wear it and go in or not. But if there's no force involved, I have respect.
Yeah. I had a meeting yesterday at Garcia's at the mall with some other guys from Arizona, and I asked the guy, he had signs that you have to wear one to go sit to your table, and I said, look, do we really need to wear masks to do that, or can we just come in? And he goes, normally I don't say too much, but our boss is here today, and I'd really appreciate you wearing it. We all four put it on, no problem. And we said, I don't want you to get in trouble. And I don't have time to talk to his boss and explain everything to him, how we don't have to wear masks. And I'm sorry, I wore a mask. Didn't put it over my nose, like I never do anyway. But anyway, we put them on, and we protected that guy's job, and we sat down and never wore a mask again until we walked out.
So this one, the next one I have relates to this very point that I'm making about force versus, hey, let's all educate. You don't need to fine me if I don't wear my seatbelt. What you need to do is just, you know what, educate me. You know, play with me, be patient with me, talk to me, work with me. Eventually, I'll see the truth, and most people will voluntarily work with people if given the chance. So my next one says this. What can be done to create civility between the people and the sheriffs / law enforcement? What can we do to create greater civility? Because right now, the blacks run from the cops and hate the cops. Right now, everybody's like, hey, the blue plague or whatever they say. I don't agree with any of that. Okay, I believe that you know what, police officers and law enforcement have an appropriate, legitimate role in our society, and I think that we need to treat them with respect, but I also think they need to treat us with respect. How do we create civility or work towards greater civility between anybody in law enforcement and we the people? There's ways to do that, Sheriff, and we really need to help sheriffs and deputies and public officials, too. They need to learn how to work with us better. What they usually do is they grandstand and shut us down and don't show up or won't talk to us or won't meet with the people. And I don't want that kind of relationship.
Right.
I want a relationship with the sheriffs like, hey, we're brothers and I have a role and I'll carry it out. And I want to build that relationship, because then when the thugs come to my door from the Fed, the sheriff goes, wait a minute, this is Sam Bushman. I know him. Something's got to be amiss here. Something's not right. You know what? Let's just sit down at McDonald's and talk to Sam for a second. Because you know what? I know Sam. He's not violent. And I want that kind of de-escalation and reality check in community, Sheriff.
Yeah, totally. And the civility thing has, man, what a key issue for the entire nation. And civility and unity. I'm sorry, but I just don't see that coming from the Democrats at all, and I especially don't see it coming from Biden.
Amen to that. So civility is high on my list. How do we create civility? You know, we've got to work on it. And I don't want to discuss the Democrat-Republican thing or the right-left thing. I don't want to get into that, because by the very nature of discussing that, you almost create the divide in the name of civility that, you know, it backfires. I want to just talk about we, the people, and the police officers. How do we develop a relationship of trust? How do we get greater civility? We may not agree on everything, right? But how do we develop enough trust to say, hey, I know the sheriff is my friend? You know what? When I was a kid, I was taught that if you need some help and you're out in society, look for a police officer. He'll help you. That's gone.
Yeah.
Okay, that's got to change, Sheriff. If we're going to restore America peacefully, that has got to change.
Yeah. Amen to that.
All right, my next one. What about the CSPOA? That's the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org. What about the CSPOA partnering with the sheriffs, creating a training program? They could train the people to develop better relationships with the public. So we would create a program. How do we do that? What can sheriffs do to make that happen? And I've got a lot of ideas of how we could build a training program, but I'd like to hear from sheriffs. What have they done? If they're silent on the matter, it's pretty telling. If they're like, oh, no, wait a minute, we have a program already. And here's what we do, and then my response.
You mean have the sheriffs provide training to the public?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, good idea.
And we would support them, because they're part of our association. We would support them with a training, kind of a guideline, a blueprint, a support series of trainings that could help them carry that training out so that all the burden's not on them and so that it's consistent. Got a lot, ladies and gentlemen. What would the sheriffs think about that, huh?
Man, oh, man.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News.
Schools across the country getting what the CDC calls a long-needed roadmap on how to safely reopen. The CDC yesterday advising schools to follow a color-coded chart to know when and how much to reopen. The chart ranges from blue for low transmission rates to yellow, orange, and then red for the highest rates of transmission. Dr. Bob Lahida is professor of medicine at New York Medical College. He tells CBS News these guidelines are good for everyone.
People relate to colors. They understand if they're in a red zone that this is an area where virtual learning is probably a better idea than coming to school. Also good for the teachers who have been very, very uncomfortable getting back to the classroom.
President Biden says the guidelines follow the best available scientific evidence on reopening schools. Some states easing COVID restrictions this week. Ohio lifting a curfew in place since November. Montana's governor ends the state's mask mandate. Also New York City and Chicago opening up indoor dining at restaurants. This is USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Alaroot for our newest sponsor, Asset Strategies, or ASI for short. ASI is a precious metals powerhouse. They sell gold and silver. Never in history has there been a more important moment to buy gold and silver. ASI has been in business for 39 years. They've served over 20,000 clients and sold $5 billion worth of gold, silver, and precious metals with zero complaints. Last year, gold saw gains of 25%. Silver nearly doubled gold's performance. Now Democrats are in charge. Green New Deal, open borders, free healthcare for illegals, bailout broke cities and states. The debt is about to go through the stratosphere. The time to buy is now. The owners of ASI, Michael and Rich Chekin, have been my close personal friends for 16 years. ASI is the company I trust when it comes to buying and selling precious metals. Call now to receive a free consultation and a free 1 ounce silver eagle with every qualifying purchase when you mention the Wayne Alaroot Show. Call 800-831-0007. That's 800-831-0007. Or visit assetstrategies.com.
Former President Trump is the victim of a politically motivated witch hunt. That's what one of Trump's defense lawyers told the Senate yesterday during the impeachment trial. Attorney Michael Vanderveen says Democrats are motivated by their political hatred of Trump. The trial resumes today, but Republican Senator Ted Cruz telling Fox News this week the outcome is not in doubt.
The end result of this trial is obvious to every single person in the room. President Trump is going to be acquitted. In order for President Trump to be convicted, it takes 67 votes. There is no chance whatsoever there will be 67 votes to convict him. All 100 senators know that. The House managers know that. Everyone in the room knows that.
Witnesses could be called today. If not, then both sides would proceed with closing arguments and possibly a vote. A shakeup at the Lincoln Project. Co-founder Steve Schmidt announcing last night he's resigning from the group made up of anti-Trump Republicans. Schmidt says he's stepping down from the board to make way for a woman to better reflect our nation and the group's movement. Co-founder Jennifer Horn resigning last week. This is USA Radio News.
The good Sheriff Richard Mack with me, ladies and gentlemen, CSPUA.org. We're talking about the incredible event coming up on February 26th, 27th at the Woodlands, just outside of Houston. And you can attend CSPUA.org, get your tickets yesterday. We're talking about the topics that we might have at the event, and we're brainstorming a lot of those topics and assigning speakers to those topics right now. I know you say, shouldn't you have that done a long time ago? We're a thin staff, folks. We're doing the very best we can. But the brainstorming is continuing, and I'm sharing the brainstorming with you, my fellow Americans. And if you have an idea of a topic or some focus that we ought to really take on with the sheriffs, then email me, libertyroundtable@gmail.com, and I'll forward the topic idea along. Anyway, I talked about the CSPOA helping sheriffs by creating training programs so that member sheriffs, members of the CSPOA, could use this training. And what they would do is they would train the public. And this would serve for the sheriffs and their deputies to get out among the public, have public events where they would speak and train and ask questions and answer questions and rub shoulders with the public and meet them and talk to them. And the training, the reason for the training for the CSPOA is because then the sheriffs can contribute and give input and feedback, and the program can be refined. And if every sheriff does it on their own, then you know what? Every county has different training. The idea here would be to take on the issues of the day and get feedback from sheriffs and slowly but surely let a program over time mature as we get feedback from the public and from the sheriffs and law enforcement, and to where the program would be consistent across the country. And I really believe that's a service we could provide for sheriffs. Would they be willing to carry out trainings like that? Would they be willing to, and would they be benefited by, would they appreciate a curriculum and support like that? And so that's kind of that topic, Sheriff.
No, I like it. Do it.
All right, next one is, and this is one we've already talked about for a long time, but I think that we always have to keep it in mind and not lose focus on it. The sheriff's role and responsibility of interposition. The definition is the act of interposing. And right. We talk about that more. Now, you've mentioned this plenty of times. This is nothing new, but it's a topic that I think we should never lose sight of or leave behind.
Right. Definitely. And I'm sure Chris Ann Hall, who probably is going to be our cleanup speaker after the whole thing is finished, even on Saturday, I wanted her to take another 15, 20 minutes, maybe even longer, to wrap everything up and to reinforce what the entire conference has been about with the sheriffs and public officials. And also, as you know, Michael Peruca will be discussing that in length in his speech, and I touch on it too.
Yeah, and both of them are constitutional attorneys and educators, I might clarify, so
right.
People understand if you don't already know.
Anyway, exactly.
So that's a great topic we never want to leave behind, and we always want to keep that as a running thread through all that we do, because this
right.
interposition, these checks and balances are critical. All right, number 10, due process for all, speedy trial, the sheriff's duty to protect and uphold. A lot of times sheriffs are like, oh, yes, and speedy trials are up for debate, you know, and it's faster than the last one I saw. Or, oh, yeah, due process there. They already, you know, I've been told by somebody else they've already had it there. Don't worry about it. And no, wait a minute. The sheriff has an obligation, especially if a issue has been brought to the sheriff's attention, begging for support and assistance. You know what? Is there really due process that has taken place? And if not, sheriff, you got to stand with the citizen. You've got to say, I demand due process for my citizen.
Right.
And a speedy trial. You've got to say, you know what? You can't run this guy out of money. You can't. And the sheriff needs to stand up for these rule of law points, whether he agrees or disagrees with the victim or the whatever you want to say in this case, the offender. You've got to stand up for these principles that make America great, sheriff, whether you like it or agree with it or not. Look, due process and speedy trial are critical components of a free republic.
Amen to that, and that's a good one, yes.
Okay, so I'm not even here to say that the sheriff agrees with the problem. That isn't
right.
the point. He may
right.
completely disagree. He may say, you know what, I think the citizen's flat out up in the night. But this citizen still has due process, and I'm going to make sure of that as the sheriff. That's what I'm going to do. And I don't care who it is trying to violate it. I'm not going to let him do it. And you know what, let the chips fall where they may. And if the citizen's right, then, hey, great. If the citizen's wrong, at least the sheriff can say, hey, I did my best to give them the American way. That's what we're talking about here, folks. This is the kind of training, this is the kind of feedback from the public that I think is so critical for sheriffs to understand. 11, domestic threats. How do we define them? You know, they say I'm a domestic threat. Sheriff, is it true? Am I a domestic threat? You literally have these massive groups saying that I am. It's a flat-out lie.
Yeah.
In fact, in Vegas, I stood up before the sheriff's, and I said, the Southern Poverty Law Center says I'm the biggest hate group in the state of Utah, and don't you guys just feel the hate seething? And the sheriffs actually laughed. But I bring this up because, look, we need the sheriffs to properly assess what a domestic threat is. How can we deal with the real threats, because there are some real threats. I'm not saying there's no real threats, but how do we assess real threats versus not real threats? How can we deal with the real threat while at the same time protecting the rights and liberties of the people? That's a hard balance, Sheriff, but we need to dig into that.
Amen. Yeah. Good.
Number 12, CSPOA de-escalation training. Yes, law enforcement is already trained in de-escalation tactics. I get it, but obviously not enough. And I say obviously not enough because every single day of my life now, I hear about, you know, cops going off the rails and they violated this right of this person, that person. And the latest rash that I've seen is cops are literally breaking into women's homes. And the women are naked. I don't know, for whatever reason, they're taking a shower, they're changing from getting home from work, whatever, and the cops catch them naked. There's been a rash of these stories recently. And then they're forced to sit in a chair naked and this and that, or they're handcuffed. And these women are suing and winning against the cops. In Chicago, Lightfoot had an example of this scenario. And I'm just saying, how do we get to that level? How do we get to where we break into the wrong home and a woman's naked and we don't allow her to get her pants on? Sheriff, it's insanity.
Yeah, especially when you're considering where it's coming from in Chicago, which has had an institution of insanity for quite some time now.
I mean, even if you have a cop at the door of the bedroom or whatever it is, and a cop, you know, protecting the front door and back door of the house or whatever to make sure they've got the situation under control, ma'am, I'm going to give you a second to put some pants on or a skirt on or a top on or what. I'm not trying to make this salacious, but I'm just saying there's got to be a way to have some civility here for that. Come on now. Now, we'll find out if we're in the wrong house or not, but ma'am, I'm absolutely going to allow you. In fact, I'm going to allow you to get dressed. I'm sorry I have to keep an eye on you. But, you know, and at least let her have some dignity for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I know that sounds like, Sam, that's just a goofy topic. I agree, but it shows the extreme of what I'm talking about, though.
Well, it also shows that maybe our de-escalation training needs to
de-escalate?
Go to another level.
Wait a minute. Our de-escalation training needs to escalate.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, so to me, that's a critical topic because, sheriffs, do you feel like, you know, some sheriffs are going to be like, I'm already de-escalating. You know what? I draw my gun after 4 seconds, not two now.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Hold on. So understand that the gun is the last resort, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to be.
Okay, so I think some training is in order there, and I don't think they spend enough time on it. It reminds me of the medical professionals. I'm like, how much do you as a doctor spend on diet? And they're like, oh, very little. Wait, what? It's kind of like that. I'm not saying they get zero training, but we need more, that's for sure. Because we should not have these cases every single day in the news where there's problems with police. We need to have examples where police are doing great things all the time. And so I'm reminded of a story. This lady literally had a domestic dispute. When the cops got there, she was taken off in her car. And then she took off in her car, and they had a big old high-speed chase, right?
Yep.
And when they stopped the woman, they pulled their guns out and everything else, and literally when they came up to the car, she was physically shaking and crying with her hands on the steering wheel so much. She was shaking so much she couldn't even take her seatbelt off. And then they realized, and when they got her out of the car, all she did was hug the cop. Now, this is an example of this poor woman. I don't know the domestic details. I'm not defending her, not defending anybody. I'm just saying this is an example of where I think 99 times out of 100 when it goes wrong, it's misinterpretation of what's really happening.
Yeah.
And I think we really need to train and really need to kind of have that viewpoint. There's a wise man who gave me an idea one time. He said this. If you're a servant of the people, you're a minister for Jesus Christ, so my context is slightly different. He said, if you look at everybody around you as if they're in trouble, somehow in trouble, maybe in their heart, in their mind, in their life, in their circumstances, you will over 50% of the time be right. Think about if we treated people that way, Sheriff, and put this big old word up there called civility on the screen and say, hey, can we work towards it? Can we achieve it? What can we do to get there? That's number 12, sir.
Well, it reminds me of the Bill of Rights.
Whoa, imagine that.
Well, they came up with 12, but the states ratified 10, so that's probably what we're going to do.
Ladies and gentlemen, and again, we're going to look at the other 10 that everybody else submits, and some of mine obviously will probably be dropped. We can't focus on everything. I get all that. I'm okay with that. And we're going to work on it and put it together and do all we can. We got an incredible event coming up, and we want you there. CSPOA.org. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems at all times and in all places is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm, available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
Ladies and gentlemen, you go to the CSPOA.org website and here's what you will see. Ready? The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope. A public event, one day only. Our next CSPOA event is near Houston in the Woodlands, Texas, February 26th and 27th, 2021. This training is absolutely guaranteed to provide irrefutable evidence that sheriffs and local officials of every county and parish have the power and the duty to protect their constituents from enemies, foreign and domestic, all enemies, foreign and domestic, ladies and gentlemen. CSPOA.org, become a member today and join us at our incredible event. I'm telling you, it will change your life. Now you can say, Sam, you're just involved and you're just saying that. Oh yeah, go there and try it out and see what I'm telling you, if it's true. And then you call me up on the radio and you tell your tale. How's that? Ladies and gentlemen, we're dedicated to this cause because we believe it's one of the great peaceful restorative solutions that we have at our fingertips today. It is an incredible opportunity. There's 3,000 counties in America, and we want them to be constitutional counties. Now, we always get criticized, and they say, oh, you think the sheriff's just a dictator in his county, and he can do whatever he wants, that he's like a God figure. Lies. Stop. We don't think that at all. We do think there are vertical and horizontal checks and balances, and we do think he's the duly elected official with executive power at the most local jurisdictional reality of governments, which is the county. Now, you would say, no, Sam, cities are they're incorporated. Let's go down that rabbit hole. Forget it. What we're talking about is, hey, this is an elected official who has executive authority, and when you look at the checks and balances, you begin to understand he has an astonishing amount of authority. Does it mean he can run off the rails and do whatever he wants? No, there's checks and balances, folks. We're not saying he's a godlike king. We never said that. But we do say that he has tremendous authority, and I'll give you proof. Ready? Let me just give you proof, then we'll turn it over to the good sheriff. Bill Clinton, the top chief commander in the nation, said, Sheriff, you're going to do this. And the sheriff said, no, I'm not. And Bill Clinton said, I'm going to arrest you if you don't, Sheriff. And the sheriff said, let's just go to court. That's where redress of grievances happen. Don't get all violent and try to arrest anybody. Just relax, buddy. And they went to the Supreme Court, and guess who won? The sheriff. Need I say more, Sheriff?
That sounded pretty cool how you put that. It was really a miraculous thing. It certainly wasn't my idea. And there's no question that it was just one of the most amazing things to ever happen to America, and definitely to me, to be a part of that. And, of course, you know the story that I told my wife about it, and I totally believed that she was going to talk me out of it and say there's no way we could do such a thing. And she said just the opposite. And so it's that is quite historic, too, that she endorsed it. And believe me, this would have never happened without the pretty little blonde girl that I've lived with for the last 45 and what is it? May. So 45 and three-fourths of a year. 45 and three-fourths of a year. It would be 46 years in May. And it's just an amazing historical feat. It's an amazing historical fact. And it reiterated that the sheriff really is the ultimate authority, because not only that, the federal government even said that we are the CLIO of the county in this country, the chief law enforcement officer. And no, there is no godlike position with that. It is a huge responsibility that the sheriff has to provide peace and safety to every citizen in his county. And he doesn't get to pick and choose. We've told people that over and over. He does not get to pick and choose. The picking and choosing was over and was completed when he took his oath of office to uphold and defend the Constitution. He has to follow his oath, and he must uphold and defend the Constitution. The argument was over when he took the oath.
And we're saying to you that that oath gives him tremendous authority. There's no question about it. And we believe we're underutilizing that reality. That's one of the biggest problems in America. They become puppets, and they become defanged, or whatever term you want to use. They become way too docile. That doesn't mean he's a godlike figure. His oath defines the balance.
It really does. And the oath is key to this whole thing, and it's been key to our training. And it was key to me searching, as you mentioned earlier in my own personal story on all of this, it was key to me finding the truth about the oath, the Constitution, and the role that each of us in law enforcement and in government have in preserving liberty. And so in the Constitutional Republic, we will answer this question, and maybe that's going to be one of my topics. Well, in fact, it is. How do we discover in law enforcement what our role is in our Constitutional Republic? What is our role? Write tickets, kick in doors, get all the drug dealers off the streets? What is our role lawfully and constitutionally, in contrast to what we have actually spent 90% of our time doing? And this another one concerns me. Have we in law enforcement ever trained or provide any type of training or ongoing learning situations regarding our oath of office? And just that alone would change the landscape of law enforcement and government drastically. And that's exactly what we hope to do. So maybe I'll make that a specific topic. I know I always cover it a little bit, but maybe we need to focus on that a little bit more.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is serious stuff. This is a way we, the people, can get involved in something meaningful. You know, a lot of people complain, and they're like twisting their hands and going, man, it's horrible. People have mental psychosis over this. It's horrible. Everything's running off the rails. It's a meltdown. What do we do? There's nothing to do. And people literally are in fear for the future. And folks, I want to help you jettison that fear. I want to help you double down, triple down. They want triple masks. I want triple faith and triple hope and triple desire to say, you know what? I can't make all the difference in the world. I'm just one guy. But you know what? The power of one becomes two, then it becomes a few, then it becomes many, and then it becomes overwhelming in its synergism. That's what I want to focus on. That's what I want Americans to look towards. When you get done with this radio program, I hope you go, there is something for me to do. There is hope. I'm encouraged by what's happening here, Sheriff.
Yeah, and I want to reiterate that something you just said a while ago. Everybody can attend on Friday. And it should be that we have a lot of citizens there. And because just what we said at the beginning, without citizens' involvement, without citizens being part of this movement and being vigilant and knowing what sheriffs are supposed to be doing, but all officials, and what we're supposed to be doing, none of this is going to work. And so it's vital that we have citizens involved. And I will say that we've got a guy that asked me to live stream, which we've never done, and I don't even want that widely spread or advertised, because quite frankly, I don't want anybody not to attend thinking, oh, I'll just stay home and watch it on live stream. Well, we're going to provide that, but we're trying to keep that away, especially from sheriffs, and because as you well know, being there in person is really where the feeling of liberty and the Spirit of God will be in that room. And sometimes you just can't feel that through a Zoom hookup or a live stream.
I'm convinced the feeling is so palpable and powerful that you will feel it even over a live stream. But I agree, there's nothing like, you know what? Humans are social creatures. They're not social distancing creatures for a reason. And that reason has to do with the feeling in the room, has to do with the, do I dare say, camaraderie that we experience, the brotherly love. Is that a phrase I can use? Where brothers and sisters feel accepted and loved and supported by their fellow patriots, their fellow men and women who desire liberty as they do, who desire the proper role of government to peacefully go forward as they do. There's something about that that you'll miss. There's no doubt about it.
Well, I believe, and I will still say that same guarantee you said. If you're there, you will feel it, even if you're looking not to, you know. And so, yeah, I really feel that will happen, and it's happened every time before, so I'm sure it'll keep.
Well, and we don't want to be cocky about this. This feeling is not because we're great speakers.
No, it's
this
just my
feeling is not because the sheriff's a rock star and beat Bill Clinton to the Supreme Court. This is not because Sam Bushman's a talk show host. This is because I believe that God is in this work. And this is because this work that we're engaged in is based on sound, eternal principles, Sheriff.
Yeah, exactly. And, and like I say, it's my testimony of what I've experienced there in the past, and that's and it is a matter of fact with me. It's not cocky. It's just that's what has happened, and that's what you will feel because that is what has happened every time we've had one.
And we do start out our proceedings with prayer. We do start out with a humble appeal to God that we will be civil, that we'll work together, that we'll come to an understanding, that we all may learn and grow together, and that we may carry out God's will of liberty for the American people. We pray for America. We pray for our leaders. We pray for our success. And I believe that's why it's so riveting, because you know what? We turn that over to God, and then we just do the best we can.
Well, certainly that's what our lives should be about, and turning it over to God and just letting the consequences fall where they may. And some little small-town sheriff did that 27 years ago, and I've never looked back since. And, I was really upset that I lost my third election, and I really looked up to the sky and said, I did what you asked me to do, and now you take my job away from me?
Yeah, you felt like Tevye, didn't you?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
and ladies and gentlemen, I want to be very clear, too. This is not a religious event. We're not promoting one religion over another. We're just as the founding fathers did, saying we'll leave the keys to theology aside for a second, but we acknowledge there's something higher, something with greater authority than government, and we're going to appeal to that greater authority for our God-given inalienable rights. We're going to, and so we don't dive into the keys to theology, but we do acknowledge something different and greater than government, without a doubt.
Yeah, no question about that. And yeah, it might not be geared toward one religion, but I believe it is very religious and it's very spiritual. I believe that the holy cause of liberty is a very religious thing. It's certainly, I believe, ordained by God. He's the one that gave us liberty in the first place. And so there's no way you can ignore the religious aspects of all of that or the spirituality of it.
Ladies and gentlemen, sadly, we're out of time. 2 hours go fast. But I'm telling you right now, hopefully we have given you kind of a glimpse behind the scenes. Hopefully we've given you an understanding of who we are and what we're trying to achieve and why. Hopefully we've helped you feel the desire to get involved and to help make a difference. All right? We can peacefully do this, folks, but it's going to take we the people. And it's going to take those who we elect to make that difference. CSPOA.org to learn more about the event coming up on February 26th and 27th in the Woodlands just outside of Houston, Texas. Get involved, sign up today. And for Sam and the good sheriff, we declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. You got to get involved, make it a great day, and choose the right, will you? We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.